Leading LDS is a nonprofit organization dedicated to enhancing leadership ability and capacity of lay leaders in order to accelerate the mission of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Leading LDS is not owned nor operated by the LDS Church, and any opinions expressed on this podcast do not reflect the views of any specific organization. All donations given to Leading LDS are tax deductible and go towards the support of Leading LDS. For more information, visit leadinglds.org. Happy General Conference! Hopefully those listening to this have just experienced a weekend filled of General Conference. I plan to release this the day after General Conference, and mainly, you know, I was not going to publish an episode. I thought, you know, it's General Conference, people listening to stuff enough. But this is a shorter episode. It's a How I Lead episode. And so I thought, what the heck, let's do this. My name is Kurt Frankum. I'm your host of the Leading LDS podcast. And one thing you may not know about me is that I quit piano lessons, which I've mentioned before. I quit piano lessons as a young man. And in high school, I realized, oh no, all the ladies love the guys who can play the piano. So I rededicated myself and tried to learn the piano once again from a wonderful piano teacher. And yeah, I just didn't do it. After a few months, about a year or so, I just dropped out and thought, well, I guess I'm not meant to be a pianist. But hey, my life isn't even halfway over. Maybe there will still be a time I learn to play the piano. But I digress. In this episode, we revisit a voice, an individual you just heard a few episodes back, Heidi Tucker. We did a fantastic interview. If you haven't heard it yet, go back, dig it up, download it, listen to it. We talked with Heidi Tucker about her experience when she had a son. I returned home early from his mission and just sort of the dynamics of that, what to expect, what she learned, and really powerful emotional story. And I learned a lot from it. So I encourage you to go check it out and learn from it as well. But while she was there sitting with me with a mic in front of her, she was prepared with 5 leadership principles for young women's presidents, because she is currently serving as a state young women's president, has had a time serving as a ward young women's president. And so we want to do a quick How I Lead interview and talk about how it is that she leads the youth. And such a, I need to do more of these episodes. If you know a good youth leader, young men, young women, president, a counselor, scout leader, whomever it is, I'd love to be connected with them so I can do more How I Lead interviews in the context of youth programs, because there's a lot of leaders out there that just simply don't know where to start, don't know how to relate. And but Heidi, I think, has got some principles here that will help youth leaders. So if you know of somebody who can benefit from this, definitely share it. So we jump right into this interview from the last interview. So we don't do much of an introduction. If you're not familiar with Heidi, I encourage you again to go listen to that first interview and you'll get more of an introduction of her background. But nonetheless, she's a young women's president in Arizona and has some great principles to discuss. And before we jump into the interview, I want to encourage all of you to become a core leader with Leading LDS. Now, what is a core leader? These are monthly and yearly subscription donors. Basically, they set it and forget it with their donations so that each month or each year, they automatically contribute to Leading LDS. And for those that do this, are welcome into the community of core leaders, where you have access to our webinar library, additional content. We're even putting together a separate podcast stream that will publish not only the typical Leading LDS content, but bonus episodes and the webinar recording from each week's webinar. And I'm sure we'll think of even more content to share. So we want to reward those that are behind us, that are helping us with a mission of Leading LDS to enhance leadership and ability across the world in the context of the LDS Church. All right, let's get into this interview. Here is Heidi Tucker once again. So let's jump over. You've had opportunity to serve as a young women's president, a stake young women's president.
Correct.
Right. And I both. Assume. Okay. Both. That experience is linear there from a ward young women's president to
right.
stake. Tell us about what was your first, just generally speaking, your first experience serving in the young women's program. What surprised you about it? What did you love about it? Anything come to mind?
Probably what surprised me when I first got called into young women's was the immediate love you feel for the young women. You know, they're different. All of them are different. Some are quirky and some are awesome and some are difficult. But you immediately feel this kinship with them and this almost mother bear instinct about, I want to nurture and I want to love these girls and I want to teach them.
So how long ago was your experience in the Ward Young Women's Program?
Ward Young Women's President. I was in that calling for about 6 years. It was a long time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that was probably 10 or 15 years ago. Okay. Yeah.
So maybe you didn't have as many texting during class or those types of things.
Oh, no, we didn't have those issues. We right. didn't have those issues. Yeah. No. And then I went to teaching early morning seminary for 4 years.
Oh yeah.
So and I was still with the youth.
Yeah.
Still with the youth. That was awesome. And now I've been Stake Young Women's president for 4 years.
Great. So that's your current calling.
Yes.
Great. When you recalled, was it a surprise to you?
Actually, it was. I mean, I had been counselor for 2 years before
in that.
Stake. But yeah, I was a little surprised. Yeah, but it's absolutely great.
Yeah. And anything surprise you as far as, I mean, and I make this comparison, you know, serving in a stake presidency, it's easy to feel like, okay, I'm in a stake presidency, so I'm like a super bishop. So I do all the bishop things, but on a different level, but yeah. It's really not like that.
No.
Right. And so what surprised you about that dynamic serving on a stake level?
That's exactly right. I went into, when I was counselor, I spent a lot of time with the girls, like one-on-one, making sure that what we had planned was effective and on a stake level. When they called me as president, I immediately felt a real kinship for those young women presidents. I wanted to support and work and love them and work with and love them. So it was a little bit different, and that surprised me. I sort of took a step back from the youth and thought, wow, I want to make these young women presidents successful with their youth. It was different, and I didn't expect that.
Yeah. And that was a powerful transition for me when I moved from being bishop to in the stake presidency, that when I suddenly realized, oh, I'm sort of the bishop's bishop, go to them and say, hey, how are you doing? You know, and take a moment in their office and just give them an opportunity to say, wow, this is hard, or I'm facing this, this, and this, I don't know what to do, you know, and letting them know that they have support there. I think that's a powerful and a rewarding position.
It is. And it's different. It's just different. I still love all the youth of the stake, right? Obviously. And I think about them all the time as I'm, you know, trying to prepare activities and programs for them, but my focus is on the leaders.
Yeah. So how long has it been now that you've been in the president position?
4 years.
4 years. Wow. So there's another 6 year run.
Could be.
Nice. Well, as I typically do on How I Lead segment, you've outlined 5 principles of leadership that maybe you would, if you found a time machine and went back in time 4 years, that you would tell yourself. So let's go through these. The first one you say is keep communication lines open and frequent with young women's presidents. You sort of touched on that, but elaborate a little bit more.
Yeah. Young women presidents are busy. I know that from personal experience. They're busy women. And I want them to feel organized and not have surprises thrown at them. They've got their own ward level to worry about. And so I'm going to just do the best I can to help them feel organized and aware of everything on a stake level that's happening so that they can weave that into their own calendar at the ward level. And so I email them monthly just because I want my name familiarity to be with them. I want them to understand I care about them. I love them. My emails are, I try to make them positive and encouraging. I recognize that they're working hard. And so they're more likely, I think, to reach out to us as a Stake Young Women's presidency if they see and hear from us on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about these emails. So is this a regular email you send out to all of them?
Yes.
And how often do you do that?
I do that at least once a month.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And sometimes more if there's other things that are happening.
Oh, interesting. So is there a specific outline you cover in that, or here's some random announcements, here's some encouragement, good luck?
Yeah. It's just that kind of a thing.
Wow.
So that I'm, you know, that they're familiar with me and that we care and that we're very involved in the whole process. When I was a young women's president, I mean, I'm not faulting anybody, but I remember having questions about things and thinking, who's in the stake, you know, to call. And I didn't call them because I didn't really know who was doing it.
Yeah.
And so I called everybody I knew in Utah, you know, that had ever been in young women to answer my questions. I don't want that to happen. I want them to know that we're here and that we're here to help.
Yeah. And a phone call away or?
Yeah. Phone call away, email away, a text away. Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. That's powerful. And you mentioned this word, helping them be familiar. I think this is half the battle with stake leadership.
Right.
Is I remember as bishop, some of the auxiliary presidents or, you know, auxiliary leaders coming to me and saying, so what, you know, we'd have a ward conference and these random stake auxiliary leaders would come and sort of show up and they'd never met them, or they'd be like, now what's the point of them? Like, what are they supposed to do? And I think, like I said, half the battle is just helping them know who you are, that you're familiar with them, they're familiar with you. And then that opens a lot of doors of communication.
Right. Once a year, showing up and saying, what can I do to help, is meaningless.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, isn't that meaningless? Yeah. Who's going to say, oh yeah, you know, sit down, let me give you a list,
a list here
of issues that I'm dealing with right now.
Yeah. But to really be, you know, shoulder to shoulder with them, you know, crazy.
So my, you know, in Arizona, I mean, our boundaries are huge compared to Utah, you know, and so we split up. I use my counselors heavily. They're fabulous. And we divide up the 10 wards in our state. And so each of us, you know, carries two or three wards and, you know, we appear regularly in those young women meetings.
Yeah. And you're just in the back of the room.
We just show up.
Participating here
we
and there.
We just show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. You know, I'm curious about you talking about this monthly email and then just having a routine of being present in these meetings. Anything else you try and just a routine that you try to establish?
Just in any stake level meeting, whether it's young women related or not, we try to, each of us in my presidency, always seeking out those presidents and members of those presidencies in the wards, just to notice them and give them a hug and encourage and glad to see you here today, you know?
Yeah. So is anything else as far as keeping communication lines open and frequent, anything else that we haven't covered there?
No, other than, you know, all forms of communication are best because some leaders really like to text.
Yeah.
And others really want to email and they don't like the text. And so you got to do a little bit of both and all of the above.
Yeah. And so just take some time to figure out what
takes some time, right?
Figures out or what gets them to respond.
Right.
Best, right?
You quickly learn.
Or even ask them, what would you prefer?
Right. Right. Right.
Cool. The next principle you say is support the stewardship of the young women's presidents. Don't replace them.
Exactly. Don't replace it.
Don't replace it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, they receive personal revelation for their programs and I respect that. And I want them to do that. I don't want to replace them by bombarding them with so many stake activities that they can't even barely function on their calendar with their own activities. I think that that's overkill by the stake. Yeah. And so because we are so spread out in Arizona, the girls in the stake love to come together once in a while for a variety of things, whether it's a dance or a fireside or an activity, a hike, I mean, depending on what we're doing. And so we plan those activities and we try to put a lot of time into those, but you know, something every month, no, that'd be overkill.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to do that. I'm here to support them and not replace what they're trying to already do.
Yeah, that's powerful. I know, you know, as a stake presidency, we've gotten away from this idea of having a stake theme. You know, I think a lot of stakes do this. And again, there's nothing wrong with it, but we just felt like, you know, we come up with a stake theme and try to impose it on all the wards when in reality, what if we went to them and encouraged them and taught them how to create a ward theme and, you know, rely on their keys and inspiration? I think that's powerful. That's very enabling as a leader to do that.
But, well, we have the young men, young women theme that's, you know, given by the church every year. And it's interesting because each ward will take a certain piece of that and sort of make it their own.
Yeah.
We see that as we go to different ward conferences and that's what they should do.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what they should do.
And how do you handle as far, I'm just thinking of the leader that, you know, has this inspiration, this idea that they're moving forward with, but you tried it. It was a disaster. How do you let them just move forward with that or guide them in those instances? Any example would come to mind?
Not a specific example doesn't come to mind, but I can tell you that what I would do is I would come in with encouragement and loving that they're interested in their girls and that this is what we want to do and appreciating their energy, but to just maybe suggest, okay, you know, I know that's been done in the past in this ward or in this or in that ward, or maybe I've done that in the past. Watch for this. Be careful about this.
Yeah.
Because there are some things that can be tricky with that. So just pay special attention and let them go with it. You know, it's their program. Let them go with it.
That's great. Anything else as far as support the stewardship of young women's president that we're missing?
Just not to, you know, overwhelm them. I don't think that's our job as on a stake level is to overwhelm the wards.
The third principle you put is love the youth and treat them with respect.
Absolutely. Assume the best of each girl. And in seminary, I was taught in training to teach to my highest student. And I remember thinking, really? You know, I'm afraid that I'll lose half of my class if I'm teaching at the level that my top student's at. And they were very insistent that no, the others will catch up. They'll get pieces of it and they'll rise to the occasion. I feel that way in general about the youth. We've all known leaders that talk baby talk to teenagers. Oh my gosh. You know,
sounds like a primary class.
Yes. They're so beyond that, especially the teenagers of today. They're so far beyond that. All you have to do is go to primary now and hear what they're learning. Right.
Yeah.
And It's incredible. No, I try to always talk to them as adults and talk to them as with the divinity that they hold, understanding that these are divine young women, and to treat them with respect and talk to them like they are like that, you know?
Wow. Great, great, great tip. Anything else as far as treating, you know, youth and treating them with respect? I think that,
you know, sometimes I think, and I tell my young women presidents in training, you know, love these girls. And if you don't feel it, pray for it. Pray that you'll love those girls and you will be blessed with that as a leader.
Yeah. I would imagine
that comes with a mantle.
There's some that, that make you want to pull your hair out. Right.
Right. And we need to see them with Heavenly Father's eyes and not with our own sometimes. And Heavenly Father will help us do that.
Yeah. Powerful. The fourth principle we put is we're all at different levels in the gospel. Don't judge, teach.
Right. I am not in their shoes living in these times with their challenges. And they haven't lived in my shoes either. And they are not as old as I am and haven't lived long enough to sort of work through some of that. And they're still sponges. They're still learning and gathering things that are important to them, and they're going to build their testimonies. So we have to motivate and teach them with the Spirit, and they will be inspired to grab onto pieces and move forward.
Yeah. Is there any specific example that comes to mind? I'm just thinking, you know, when you realize that I'm actually judging them, and maybe I should shift to the teaching role rather than the judger.
Right. Well, you know, we all think negative thoughts occasionally about a teenager or something that shows up and you're thinking, good grief, you know, maybe it's what they're wearing. Maybe it's the way they talk. Maybe it's that they're not showing up at certain activities. And so you start to form a judgment in your mind of what's going on, you know, what's going on with this girl. And then, you know, lo and behold, you learn something maybe about her, the situation at home, or you learn about some event that's happened to her in the past, and you can see it all falls into place and you think, oh my gosh, I should never have even thought that, you know? So I just try to never assume and just teach and love, and love, and don't judge, because I'm not living in that house. I'm not.
Assume the best.
Assume the best. We're all here trying to move forward.
Number five, you put, pray to know the path for your stake. Set your ego aside. Heavenly Father knows what they need better than you do. How do you set your ego aside?
Yeah. You know, a good example that I can give you is when we planned Trek. You know, Trek is just a monster of an activity.
Every 3 or 4 years, right?
Yes, every 4 years. Incredible. And so we had never done a trek in our stake until about 2 years ago we did one. And I asked my presidency to go and make phone calls to everybody they knew who'd ever done a trek and write down just a list.
Oh, that's great.
Right, a list of activities that they had done. So we all did that. And we each formulated, you know, some ideas of things that we thought were really cool ideas. And look at this great idea that, you know, this stake did. And we sort of brainstormed, got together. And so then I took a different approach. And I said, I want us to all go home and I want us to fast and pray about what our youth need. What do our new youth need in this stake? Not any other stake, just this stake. And let's see if we can find some commonality in that. And so a week later, we came together and it was really humbling. We each pulled out our outlines and they were the same.
Wow, that's great.
Four people with the same outline from, you know, hundreds of activities that we had learned about. And we just looked at each other and said, all right,
yeah,
this is what the Scottsdale, Arizona stake needs.
Yeah. I can't say any better. You know, it's putting together a resource like Leading LDS, people hear some fantastic ideas from other people. They hear some great tactics and things like that. And I've heard countless stories of people saying, hey, I put this into place. I learned that and it's great. You know, we're seeing great success from it, but never let it replace that the simple process of fasting, praying, and seeking that inspiration.
Right.
And be open to that, you know? And,
yeah.
You know, you say the word ego, that doesn't, you know, that doesn't mean we're walking around like we act like we know, we think we know everything and we're not, you know, it's not this blatant ego that's obvious, but sometimes it just naturally creeps up on us where
Absolutely.
We need to step back and say, no, I'm going to put that aside. And
yeah. I'm kind of a go-getter. I mean, I can sit down and whip out a piece of paper and I can put together
a killer activity,
right? and I can do that with my eyes closed. It's not necessarily the activity that my stake needs.
Yeah.
That's going to touch the hearts of the youth in my stake. Yeah. And so it's taking the energy that I have and the drive I have to do it, setting it aside and going to the Lord and saying, what would you have my youth do?
Yeah. And I think, you know, involving your presidency in that process is such a uniting process.
It was incredible. We'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Anything else as far as number five, set your ego aside?
Just that I've seen it. In addition to Trek, I see it at girls' camp. I've seen it in planning youth conferences, things that I think would be super cool or, you know, grandiose ideas that I hear from other stakes. Sometimes that's not what happens. We just set it on the back burner and it never comes to fruition. And it shouldn't.
Yeah,
it shouldn't, because we feel this gentle pull to go a different direction. And I think that's the Lord understanding the youth within my stewardship.
I would imagine that a lot of that revelation inspiration comes on your morning walks, right?
As you're about. It really does. Quiet moments, just asking and pleading with the Lord that I'll hear.
Yeah.
That I'll hear something. And
yeah, it's a remarkable process. And to be set apart and given that authority to lead is a remarkable experience.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
And can't be replaced by any tactic or perfect idea.
No.
So, well, let me ask you this. I have one more question for you, but before I do, if people want to check out your book, learn more about it, where should people go to learn more about you and your book?
Yeah. I mean, it's available online at Deseret Book. Also, it's online at Amazon.com and it's in most of the Deseret Book stores. They can also go to my website, which is thepickledsunflower.com.
Perfect. And lastly, as I typically do with anybody I talk with, and the How I Lead segment or Leading LDS podcast is, as you have had opportunity to serve in the Young Women's Program, both on the ward level and the stake level, how has that made you a better disciple or follower of Jesus Christ?
It has made me a better disciple because of the service. You know, it takes me out of my own routines and puts me into serving others. That's where my energy and my drive goes. I'm always thinking about the young women in my stake. I'm always thinking about those presidents. And how can I serve them better? How can we develop programs and things for them? It just, and every calling I've ever had does that. That's why this is such an incredible, the church is set up so beautifully, because it's an instrument for us to serve as the Savior did. And if we didn't have that, it would be a lot harder to just go knock on neighbors' doors and say, what can I do for you today?
Thank you, Heidi, for coming on the Leading LDS podcast, doing a double header recording. And now we have her How I Lead experience in the How I Lead segment. I appreciate her. A lot of good content there. I loved her point about teaching to the highest student and really leading to the highest student, right? And allowing people to catch up. I think that's such a valuable principle that we can all live by. You know, we sometimes worry that we're leaving students behind or individuals behind that we lead, but just expect the best out of them. And I think that's where we'll find the best leadership and our best influence, as we expect more and more out of individuals and encourage them to be the best that we know they can be. If you know somebody who would be a great guest to have on the How I Lead segment, maybe a bishop or Leaf Society president, a patriarch, an apostle, whomever, that we could sit down with and just ask, how is it that you lead day to day, week to week, and how do you find success? And there's so much value in these episodes that I get feedback all the time for individuals that say, hey, I learned so much from this individual. I'm trying A, B, and C and seeing success, and I love it. So we want to get more and more individuals on the How I Lead segment and keep doing this. And as always, all we ask is $1 a month for the content that we produce at Leading LDS. We need you to be a core leader with Leading LDS, which means you subscribe $1, or which means you are a monthly or yearly subscribing donor to Leading LDS. You said it and forget it. Go to leadinglds.org and hit the donate button. And there you can get access to even more content that will help you enhance your leadership ability and capacity as a leader in the LDS Church. As always, until next time, be a leader and not a calling.
It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness, the loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away. and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.